Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, here we go. It's hour two. We are rolling along live in Los Angeles. This is the Herd. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening. Fox Sports Radio, FS1. My good friend Nick Kahn, been my agent for years, got a new job. Now the president with Vince McMahon of the WWE. This is kind of behind the rope, but Nick has guided my career for the last half decade. Best agent I've ever had, perhaps the best friend I've ever had in the business. And it's not goodbye, it's see you soon. He is now running the WWE, which of course is on Fox. So if he can get me Charlotte Flair on the show, we're all good.
Congrats, Nick. Nick has been very great for me in my career as well. It's wonderful news. Huge, huge news. Congratulations.
Unbelievably peerless in his talent perception.
He's the absolute best.
And work ethic. Congratulations to Nick Kahn. We'll see you soon and get me Charlotte Flair. The queen rules the internet. So listen, a lot of you think I don't like Carmelo Anthony. Carmelo Anthony frustrated me. But last night he hit big shots for Portland. And at 36 years old, at the end of the road, he's finally in shape and he has found a perfect spot to play in. You know, I always tell my wife, you got the good me. There was me in my 20s. That was my first wife. And I was so obsessed with my career and I was so tunnel vision. And now I'm older, I'm beaten down as a broadcaster. I'm like, you get the good me. I'm more fun. I like vacations. I like to hang out. I cannot think about work all the time. Damian Lillard got the good Carmelo Anthony. He doesn't have options. He's not the player he once was. He knows he's not Dame. And this Carmelo I like. It's a little late, but I like it. And Damian Lillard talked about his performance. He hit the big shot of the game last night. Here's Dame.
He's a Hall of Famer. You know, I think it's more disappointing that people are surprised by it. You know what I mean? He's a Hall of Famer, like I said. He's a great teammate. And that's what we expect from him. You know, we put him in those positions because we expect him to make those shots. We believe he's going to make those shots. And we brought him here because we knew he would make a difference for our team, and he's been doing that.
First of all, he is a Hall of Famer. That's not even disputable. It's called the Basketball Hall of Fame. And even if it wasn't, he would make it. But he's Syracuse national champion, 10-time All-Star, top 20 all-time scorer, 3 gold medals in the Olympics, and he was very good in the Olympics. Of course he's a Hall of Famer. And again, Dame's getting the good mellow, right? We all mature, we all grow. He's not getting the 23-year-old mellow. Here's the interesting thing. When I think about NBA stars, and Mello's certainly a star, they always fall in 2 categories. Now, I'm not talking NBA players. Those fall in multiple categories, but stars. Dame's a star. LeBron's a star. AD's a star. Kawhi, Chris Paul, Carmelo Anthony. They always fall into 2 categories. Winning stars and stat stars. And the difference is not talent. The difference is not talent. The winning stars are Kobe and LeBron and Steph Curry and Dwayne Wade and Magic Johnson and Bird. The stat stars are Tracy McGrady and Dominique Wilkins and Carmelo Anthony. I wrote a few down this morning. T-Mac, George Gervin, who I loved as a kid. It is not talent. Carmelo is more talented than Steph Curry. Bigger, stronger, more talented. Dominique Wilkins, to me, is more gifted physically than even D-Wade. It is not about that. It is about self-awareness. And the winning stars have it at a very early age. Do I give them credit or their parents? Hell if I know. But this league is about kids coming in. This is not college football when you come in at 24. You come in at 19, 20, 21 years old. Do you have, at 19, 20, 21 years old, latest 22, do you understand how valuable coaching is? Do you understand how hard you have to work to be able to be good on the offensive and defensive end? Do you understand some nights take fewer shots, even though you can get the points, to get teammates involved? Do you have the self-awareness to understand how valuable everybody is beyond yourself? Because to get to the NBA at 21, you were the best high school player, the best AAU player, the best college player. I mean, you are literally like a prodigy. I mean, think about this. In America, every year, there's about 8 basketball players. How many times have you watched people play basketball, young people? 8 of them a year from America make the NBA. I mean, like play. You're a prodigy. You're like a music prodigy. Like the kid that goes to Harvard at 15 years old or MIT at 17, right? 15, 17. So, and that's my knock. This is not a knock on Carmelo Dominique, but there were moments in time that Carmelo kept showing me he just didn't have the self-awareness. I'll give you an example. When LeBron went from Cleveland to Miami, Miami back to Cleveland, he didn't demand trades because he manipulated the situation so he would join good players. When Carmelo left Denver, instead of just being a little more patient, he demanded a trade, and the Knicks had to give up all sorts of talent and all sorts of pick, all sorts of players, guaranteeing they weren't going to be a championship team. Self-awareness. LeBron had it, Melo didn't. How about the fact that LeBron, I mean, 13 years ago, watched the game and went, I'm going to start working on my three-point shot. Carmelo begrudgingly never wanted to take an extra step and a half back. He didn't like it. He wouldn't do it. He wouldn't embrace it like LeBron did. How about the fact that when he went to Oklahoma City, off the bench, yeah, I'm a bench player. Well, actually, on that team, you were a bench player. It's not that Melo's lacked talent. I mean, he's a 10-time All-Star. 3 golds. Syracuse. But there have been multiple instances where Jeremy Lin, remember when the Knicks for about a month caught fire? They were the talk of basketball with Jeremy Lin. Melo came back instead of embracing Jeremy Lin and the winning streak. He's like, nah, I'm not going to play that offense. Dude, it's about winning games. Time and time again, Melo lacked the self-awareness. And this is the gap to me between the Kobes, the Wades, and the George Gervins, and their nice guys, and the Neeks, and the Melos. Now, they may have the self-awareness at 28 and at 34 and now in their 50s. But when they were 22 and 23 and 21 and 20, and they were building that reputation, they turned people off. Remember, your prime in this league is 22 to about 28, maybe 29, 30. Now LeBron's, like Brady, exceptional. But that's the difference. He's a Hall of Famer. Dame is now getting the good Melo, the more mature Melo, the not as talented Melo. We don't need you to score 20 Melo. You got to occasionally play some defense Melo. And this is a good Melo. I mean, he can fill it up. He's talented. They got no wing scores. They need Melo bad. They got a great backcourt in Nurkic. So they have a humongous hole in their team. I mean, I talked to somebody up in Portland that covers them when they got Melo, and they're like, no, this is going to work. Like, we just need a guy in the wing, the 6'7" guy that can shoot jumpers. So it's that self-aware. Sports is incredibly cruel. In almost every business in the world, you become a millionaire. Your prime is 42 to 55. You can make all those mistakes when you're 20 years old. Pro sports is different. You have to be smart, self-aware, focused. You don't get to have a social life like an average 22-year-old. Oh, you're carrying the franchise. Figure all the difficult stuff out. For guys like me, I didn't have to worry about that. That was 40. Pro athletes have to figure it out at 19, 20, 20 years old, like Luka Doncic. 20 years old, dude, you are the face of the Dallas Mavericks. Mark Cuban's number one business. You're the face. The hell? I wasn't ready for that at 20. Were you? Luka is. And that was Melo's thing. He's now, it just took longer for him to kind of get the big picture. Now he's perfect. But there was a lot of years in there where forcing a trade, not embracing Jeremy Lin, kind of laughing at those who suggested you come off the bench, not really working on that 15 years ago, working on that three-point shot. That was clearly the future of the league. And that's why he'll make the Hall of Fame. But he won't be in that other category of stars, to me, the winning stars. I saw another story that I think is interesting. UConn became the first FBS football team to cancel the college football season. So UConn said, we're out. Now, the reason this happened is UConn was kind of an independent. The way their schedule worked, they had multiple road games that got canceled because of other league schedules. So UConn really didn't have a you know, they're just like, listen, we don't feel like losing $25, $30 million. Now, 20 minutes after that was announced, the Big Ten announced their schedule. And let's be honest about this college football season. And let's be honest about COVID. It is really separating some have and have nots. In the MLS, two teams couldn't get it right, didn't even show up. In baseball, the Marlins are lost. The Dodgers, the Twins, the Yankees, the Cubs, they're not getting guys getting tests. The reality is some UFC fighters couldn't be disciplined enough. They got pulled off cards. College football has always been have and have nots. There is a massive gap in money, in-state recruiting, passion, history, commitment, resources. And UConn is a have-not. Notre Dame, Alabama, LSU, Oklahoma, Clemson, Oregon's, those are haves. And those programs have the money and the resources. I mean, the NBA is spending $75 million on all this COVID testing. Like, it's expensive. UConn can't afford it. And probably 60 teams in college football. They probably just can't afford it. Plus, there's no fans. There's no revenue. So I think college football this year, I think it's going to work for the SEC. I think the strong are going to get stronger. I've seen this in restaurants, and I've seen this in airlines. Delta, I've flown them 12 times. They've been virtually flawless. Low-cost airlines, some are not going to make it. Most may not make it, and they're really struggling. So UConn's news today is not the story of college football. It's the story of a college football have-not in an incredibly restrictive time, and it's going to test those schools that don't drive big revenue in football. UConn doesn't, and they're probably doing the smart, right thing, canceling their season. Coming up next, Michael Rappaport in 30 minutes, Tom Telesco, the GM of the Chargers. Many believe it's a top three roster. Here we go. Camp is starting. He's got Justin Herbert, that young star quarterback, who's going to learn this year. We presume sit this year. Talk about the challenges of an NFL GM. That's coming up next.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Today, MLB on FS1 continues as Bryce Harper and the Phillies take on Aaron Judge and the Yankees. It all starts at 4 Eastern, 1 Pacific on FS1 and the Fox Sports app.
I'll be watching. You know, yesterday we had Chris Ballard on, the GM of the Colts, and they obviously acquired for 1 year Phillip Rivers. And it's interesting, and he was talking about Phillip, and he said, Phillip is so intense, and he loves the game so deeply. And that's Brady. That's Russell Wilson. When you get that, some of it's luck, that you literally find somebody who, as they age, they love the game more. Phillip Rivers once told me on the show, he goes, I like practice more than games. And I'm thinking, that is a guy that loves football. And his former general manager is Tom Telesco, who's the youngest Charger GM ever when he got hired. He is joining us. 8th year as the Chargers GM via the Coward Global Satellite Network. And, you know, it's interesting. And I'm sure, Tom, you've thought about this before. I mean, Phillip was the Chargers. Emotionally, his intensity, his love, his passion. Are you concerned that we didn't just lose a great guy? Good Lord, we lost an emotional part of our tapestry, and that's tough to fill, right?
Yes, yeah, no, it's a big void. Someone of that stature that you just mentioned about the passion that goes into it and the leadership and everything that comes along with that, everybody else feeds off that, and they see that's how your leader works. They fall in line. So, but what that gives us is we'll have other people work into that void. Now, is it going to be one person? Probably not. But we have a number of players here that I think will become those next leaders, have that same energy. And like you said, too, it's a lot of it's on the practice field, in the meeting rooms. If you have a passion for what you do and love what you do, this game's a grind, and you won't get better, you won't improve. So you have to have that part of that mindset that to love what you do just to keep improving. And I think we have a number of players here that will kind of fill that void.
You just signed Joey Bosa to a contract. Now, he's an unbelievable talent, as is his brother. So when you sign him before the season, I was just thinking to myself, you know, you lose Phillip, and this is a really good signing. This sends a message to the organization. Listen, man, we're all in on this stuff. Was that part of the signing that, you know, he is a leader, he is vocal, and that it sent a message to your locker room, we're keeping our stars here. This is a big guy. This is a big signing.
Well, like that's always been our philosophy is to draft players, develop them, and re-sign our own. Now, can you do that 100% of the time? No, you can't. Not in a salary cap era, but certainly with Joey, he falls under that, and he'll continue to grow into that leadership role. But in this league, and certainly in our division, you need edge rush and you need interior rush. And obviously, Joey can help us there big time. It's a very important signing for us to have that done moving forward. Look, you know, football is going to look different and feel different this year, but, you know, we're going to have a trophy at the end of the year, and we're competing for that with everybody else. So, you know, football operation is still moving on. We just have to adapt and change a little bit with it. But, now that was very important for us to get that done for this football team and the organization.
So Justin Herbert doesn't need to play because Tyrod Taylor, who we've said multiple times on this show, has always been a much more competent starter than he's been given credit for. If you go the last 4 or 5 years, he's been with rebuilding teams and won a lot of football games, Cleveland and Buffalo. So Herbert doesn't have to play. That's good news. Let's talk about rookies. Let's talk about no OTAs, no preseason. Let's talk about how difficult it is. Tom, how do you make up that ground with rookies?
Look, if you can't adapt or if you're resistant to change, the year 2020 may not be for you. So that's what we all have to do. I mean, it's just, it is what it is. You know, I'm less focused on what we can't do and the challenges and just figuring out different ways to do things. So with young players, yes, there may be some less opportunities on the practice field, or not on the practice field, but just in preseason games. But for young players, they've gotten a lot of work in the classroom, a lot of work on Zoom meetings. They should know the playbook well. And if you're unsure or don't know what to do on the field and you play slow, you won't play in this league very long. So they should know the playbook well on paper. Now, processing that in real time on the practice field, that does take time. That's what we have the next 5 or 6 weeks to work on. And we'll put them in a lot of competitive situations in practice. Anthony does a great job with that to try and get a feel for these players and evaluate them. But, you know, don't forget, too, we've got a 53-man roster and 16 practice squad spots this year. So that's 69 jobs. That's the most jobs on an NFL team that I've ever been around. So there may be less actual opportunities on a practice field to show coaches what you can do, but there's more jobs available. So, you know, we've got to glean one or two things from these players, get a good feel for that, and hopefully the opportunities to even get on a practice squad and then work your way up from there.
You know, years ago, it was funny watching teams that had to face Peyton Manning for 10 years in their division or Brady for 10 years, 20 years in the AFC East, you could watch teams draft pass rushers because they knew they were going to have to face Peyton Manning and Tom Brady and possibly would be trailing in games. You're going to face Patrick Mahomes for a decade. Is it going to, Tom, when you're sitting in these draft meetings with your scouts, is Mahomes so influential it may change the way you draft your team?
I mean, how could it not? I mean, you know, the first way into the playoffs is to win your division. So that's our number one goal. And as you build your football team, you have to look at your whole division and how you match up with those teams. And you also have to look at how they match up with you. So it goes both ways. But certainly, yes, you know, as a fellow team builder, it was nice to see Kansas City be able to get that done in this challenging environment. As a division foe, I don't have the same opinion, really, obviously. So, but yeah, we know we're going to be facing him for a long time, and we got to build, you know, a balanced team, not just defense. We got to build a balanced team to go against them in Oakland and Denver, because the division is goal number one. Win the division one, and everything comes from there.
Yeah, you're not going to hold Kansas City in the teens, so you're going to be in some shootouts. And let's talk Justin Herbert. I think he's really good. I mean, you've seen him. I have not. Our audience has not seen Justin Herbert. What do your eyes tell you?
Well, our eyes so far, and we've only had a couple walkthroughs with these players, but, you know, he has the combination of the physical talent that we're looking for and then the makeup. And at the quarterback position, you really need to have both. Now, there's a lot of work that needs to be done. You know, he's not the perfect quarterback. We don't expect him to be right now, and he'll grow at his own pace. And I think every team, when you draft a quarterback high, I think everyone has different philosophies how you want to develop that quarterback, but I don't think there is a one-size-fits-all when it comes to that. It depends on your team. It depends on your roster. You know, I was with the Colts when both Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck were drafted. They played right away. And part of it was because they were the best quarterback on the roster at that time. When I was with the Carolina Panthers early in my career, when Bill Polian drafted Kerry Collins, you know, he had signed Frank Reich to come in and be the starter. And Frank started the first three or four games. And then Kerry came in from there. So you have to be ready when that opportunity presents itself. I don't think you tell any player that, hey, look, this is a redshirt year, especially this year with what's going on, because you got to be ready at a moment's notice. So we're going to let Justin grow at his own pace. I love our coaching staff. They're teachers, they're communicators. And he's going to get a lot of good work, you know, this training camp, and we'll take it from there.
By the way, this is maybe a weird question. Do players wear masks during practice? I literally saw a practice video yesterday with receivers in Seattle wearing masks. What does a practice look like? Do you got masks? Do you have hand sanitizer everywhere? What does it look like?
It's different. So right now we're in more of a walkthrough pace. So in a walkthrough pace, a lot of our players are wearing masks. When we get the full speed running, it may be a little bit more difficult to do that. But right now, most are wearing masks in the walkthrough. We all have our contact tracers that we wear, which is helpful, especially for coaches and staff on the sidelines, because it does indicate to you where you may be too close to somebody for too long. Because, you know, right now our protocols are really good. They're very stringent. Obviously, we have daily testing. That doesn't protect us from the virus, but it will protect us from the outbreak. But as far as hand washing, wearing masks, physical distancing, the contact tracers that we wear, that's all preventative. And I've been really proud of everybody, how they've taken us so seriously. I've been really pleased with everybody, with the protocols we're following. We've got, you know, 180 people here, you know, 80 players and coaches and staff that are all following these protocols, and they're really doing a great job.
Let me see that thing again on your wrist. What is that, the tracing thing? Let me see a picture of that. Now, what is
Okay.
What is that?
So all the players, coaches, all of us staff, we wear these, and it really has two functions. One, if somebody does test positive, we can go back and look at the data and see who's been close to that person and for how long, and then probably pull that person out, isolate them, and retest them. So it helps that. And it really just helps because it will start blinking red if you're too close to somebody within 6 feet for too long.
Wow.
And that's really good for us because we're used to working close with each other, shoulder to shoulder many times, and it's different for us to have to take a step back and give that distance, like I said, and it's really important. I mean, this is all preventative measures. I mean, testing can only take you so far, so it really has not been an issue wearing these tracers. When they first brought it up, it sounded like it was going to be a little bit restrictive. It really hasn't been at all, and I think it's going to be a big help.
Yeah, Tom Telesco, Chargers young GM. Good talking to you, Coach. We'll talk soon. Go to dinner.
All right, great talking to you.
All right.
Sounds good.
All right. He's one of the smartest guys I've ever met in that sport. He's GM at like 39, 40 years old with the Chargers. There's not going to be any fans at SoFi. So, I mean, the Chargers have had a weird kind of fan experience the last couple of years anyway. They've been playing home road games.
Right.
So they're kind of equipped to deal with an odd home field disadvantage.
I am so impressed. Like, I can't say enough how impressed I am with all of these professional leagues and
I'm blown
like
away
by the protocols
by
they've put in place and listen, how everyone is just doing what they're supposed to do and
like
focusing on protecting everyone and making sure that the season happens. It's remarkable.
Okay, the Marlins screwed up. What we were going to have a perfect year?
No, nothing is going to be perfect. Nothing in life is perfect, so that's impossible. Let's not try and achieve the impossible. Let's manage the situation. Like, everything that I've heard from the NFL has been so positive about these protocols and everyone buying into it. It's really impressive.
Well, working from home, working on the road, binging your podcast, buyraycon.com, 15% off, buyraycon.com, wireless earbuds. The code is H-E-R-D. Joey Taylor with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News, sponsored by Mercedes-Benz. The best or nothing.
Aaron Rodgers wasn't the only Packer that was surprised at the decision to draft Jordan Love in the first round. Wide receiver Davante Adams says everyone thought that Green Bay was going to go in a different direction.
Them bringing in a rookie quarterback, I mean, extremely solid quarterback, and, you know, it may have shocked. You know, we were all expecting, it's no secret, we were all expecting to have a receiver drafted, but, you know, that wasn't the case.
Also, they're not great at tight end right now. If they would have had a great, I mean, if you gave them Travis Kelce, you probably wouldn't have to go get it. I mean, he's such a volume receiver.
Right.
But they don't have a big tight end presence, and it's just Davante Adams. So I think I didn't mind the Jordan Love pick. I was deeply bothered by no wide receiver pick for the next four.
I did not love the Jordan Love pick. Not that I don't think that Jordan Love is a good prospect. I do. I didn't like how he was drafted, meaning that they moved up in the draft to get him. If he had fallen to them, it would have been a different situation, but that's not what happened. They were in the NFC Championship game last year. There's no comparison to the Favre-Rodgers situation. They lost in the wild card game the year before they drafted Aaron Rodgers. It's not right. The same thing. The NFC Championship game is a great accomplishment. They had a 13-3 season. To me, it's kind of significant that Devontae Adams said that everyone thought that they were going to take a wide receiver. There's a little bit of a messaging to the team there that, like, no, we're moving up to take Jordan Love while we still have Aaron Rodgers, who, despite the fact that, you know, the team obviously had holes, they weren't able to get past San Francisco. Aaron Rodgers had that season last year. Despite right. all that, we're still going to move up and take Jordan Love. I understand the strategy from Matt LaFleur and the front office's perspective, but how does the rest of the team look at that?
It's not great. Players matter.
It's kind of interesting. So the Suns have been a surprise team in Orlando, and that continued yesterday against the Clippers. Devin Booker had a terrific game, 35 points, 4 rebounds, and 8 assists. And he capped off an amazing night by hitting a buzzer-beating shot over Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, kind of, to give the Phoenix Suns a 117-115 win and a 3-0 start in the bubble.
That could have been their biggest win in 5 years. I could be wrong on that. When's the last time they had a win that big? I mean, I can't even remember it. 5-7 years?
I just think that they're finally trending in the right direction, and that's exciting. Well, Devin Booker is a star.
Yeah, they have a star.
In the NBA. Yeah. And
they got they have their Dame. They've got their star guard.
I don't want to go crazy because it's still the Suns organization and we know how they do things. But I thought this was a nice night for Devin Booker and the team and a nice moment. Obviously, you know, they're 3-0 in the bubble, which is great. I don't think it's a significant win over the Clippers as far as the Clippers side of it. For the Suns, it is. But, you know, we know what the Clippers are and what they're going to do. But I think it's building blocks when you have young teams and young stars. Like, we know what Devin Booker is, but this is a big moment.
Yeah.
And it was fun for the NBA. Like, having these moments in this couple weeks span,
so many,
finishing the end of the season, going into the playoffs is great.
So many last-second games.
It's been amazing
to six last-second shot games.
Amazing games, and then everything that's happening with Melo is awesome, too. He came up clutch for the Blazers last night, sank a three-pointer to give his team a two-possession lead with less than a minute to go against the Rockets, which was a really great game. And that put an exclamation point on a strong performance, 15 total points and 11 rebounds. Portland also got a big game out of Damian Lillard, who nearly had a triple-double with 21 points, 8 assists in the 110-102
Most intense game I'd seen in the bubble was that one. That was the single most intense game I've seen in the bubble was that game.
Yes,
last
because
night.
This one really kind of was a playoff game.
Oh, no.
For Portland.
Yeah.
So they're ninth in the West. They're 1.5 games behind Memphis. CJ McCollum also had 20 points, 7 rebounds, and 5 assists. I really like both these teams. I feel like Houston is really the team that is sort of my sleeper to possibly make something happen. And if, you know, a few things go awry, like, they are a championship team. They're a factor in the bubble. I know everyone's very high on Portland and they're kind of afraid that the Lakers match up with Portland. I love the Blazers and everything that they're doing.
They don't have anybody that can guard LeBron.
Yeah, I just don't think that they have enough for, I mean, you know what AD is going to do, what he's going to do in the fourth quarter, or who knows, but I just don't think that they have anything for LeBron at the end of the day. I think it would be an amazing series.
Yeah, because they're big.
To see it.
They're,
yes.
Like, the Lakers and the Blazers have, like, multiple 7-footers.
And it
They're
would just
big.
Be such an intense series. So I would love to see it, but in the end, I would still take the Lakers in that spot.
Joy Taylor with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd
by
Line
By the way,
news.
You should show this. Show the Western Conference as of now. Joy was talking about this. So they showed it last night. Was the game on TNT last night? I forget. So they were showing the Western Conference right now. So Memphis is in the 8th spot. Portland's in the 9. Memphis just lost one of their best players. So
yes.
that Portland's going to get their way back in if they can win. What's also interesting is the way the bubble works out. What is it, John? If you're within, when it's all done, the regular season
I think if you're within 4 games.
If you're within 4 games, Portland then gets a playoff series with Memphis. And Memphis would only have to win 1 game, Portland 2 in a 3-game series. It's very clever. So the nine team is going to get in. To a playoff series, a mini micro series with the 8 teams. So Portland's better than Memphis, I think, to begin with. They've had a lot of injuries. Nurkic didn't play forever. But now with Nurkic back, Melo playing well, Portland's better than Memphis. Portland's better than Dallas.
What a fun miniseries that's going to be.
Yeah. I think, honestly, I can make the argument. Clippers, Lakers, Nuggets, Rockets, Portland. Those are the five best teams. But, like, Portland's a deceptively great nine seed.
Yes.
They're not really a nine seed because now Melo's in playing well. Nurkic is back.
Well, that's what all the buzz is about now. If they get into that spot and they match up with the Lakers, people are afraid.
Oh, it's a real series. Yeah. Lakers would have swept Memphis in four.
Yes.
This is going to be a six-game series, which is going to be taxing. And, you know, LeBron, remember, Avery Bradley's out.
And how does that affect the Lakers as they move deeper into the playoffs?
Remember, the one team you needed Avery Bradley against was Houston because of their guards and Portland because of theirs. Avery Bradley was huge. You can get away with it not having Avery against the Clippers, who are more forward dominant. Houston, Portland, Avery Bradley was going to guard a Harden, going to guard a Dame. So that's a huge. Now, people just like, oh, it's no big deal. No. Avery Bradley and Rondo now, that's 35 minutes of defensive activity flushed out. It's gone.
And it's just, this is also great because we're going to have exciting first-round series of the NBA playoffs.
Great first round.
Yes.
All right, Michael Rappaport's Crazy, the producer, comedian, NBA thoughts next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
I got to give Michael Rappaport, the actor, writer, comedian, credit. He looks better on his Skypey thing he's got here than he does in studio. Let's go to him right now. Michael Rappaport, Fox Sports 1 contributor, diehard basketball and sports fan, is joining us. I mean, look at him. His hair looks glorious. It looks like Vidal Sassoon products. You look very, very good. So let's start with this, though.
Wait a second, man, because that's a backhand compliment.
What?
So you're trying to tell me at home I look better than the three-dimensional in-life persona that we're used to? I mean, you're like, oh, I got to give him some credit. But what do I look like? I'm displaced when I show up over there?
Yeah, you look like you just rolled out of this bed. Now you look like an actor.
This is crazy, man. I mean, Joy, I mean, this guy's taking pot shots at me. I haven't seen you guys in months.
That's what Colin does, you know. He's trying to give you a compliment. But he really misses having you in studio.
So I do.
He wants to make you feel more comfortable at being at home because he misses having you in studio.
Next time I come to the studio, I'm showing up in my pajamas and flip-flops.
All right. So let's start with this. Nick Wright was on. He's freaking out about the Clippers. And I'm like, they don't even care about the regular season. They got to get stars and a title to take this city over. Your thought about the Clippers losing to the lowly Suns?
Well, I don't think that they don't care. I agree with him about that, but I agree with you that they're not peaking right now, so I don't think it's that they don't care, but I think that the Lakers were seeing them peak. You know, Anthony Davis and LeBron, of course, you know, they're coming. LeBron is coming hard. He's coming, you know, nothing could stop him. I'm not worried about anything stopping LeBron James. The Lakers are going to do that, but the Clippers right now, with the sweet sauce Lou Williams and the Montrez mystery, the mystery of Montrez, and Kawhi's just starting to, you know, get it going. They're gonna start morphing in the next week and then throughout the first round. And I don't think it's that they don't care. I just think it's a different environment. They've been a little dismantled, with Lou and Patrick Beverly. But Kawhi's gonna get his rhythm. And I think that the Lakers and the Laker fans and you know, Los Angeles is my second home. They need to get ready for a big, big Los Angeles Lakers LeBron James heartbreak. They're not winning the championship. Now, if you ask me today who's going to knock them out, I would say the Los Angeles Clippers if they make it that far.
Yeah. So what do
they
we
might not make it that far.
I'm very critical sometimes of Westbrook. Last night we got bad Westbrook. A couple of nights ago we got great Westbrook. What do you make of small ball Houston? They're a captivating team to watch. What do you make of them?
I think that that backcourt is probably the most disliked backcourt by fans and opponents ever.
Yeah.
They're criticized. They're scrutinized. Players do not like playing against them because they just keep coming after you. I mean, you and I have had the Russell Westbrook conversation for years. I think that him and Harden, James and Russ, they sort of level each other out, and they kind of, you know, he calms Russell down a little bit, and he also toughens Harden up a little bit. Now, we know Harden has had his disappearing acts in the playoffs, but they're playing very well. Also, I don't think they're peaking yet, but their defense is scrappy. Their defense is tough. P.J. Tucker and Covington, they bought into the system. You never thought that a Mike D'Antoni team would be mentioned with any sort of defense, but I think they have a nice team, and they're going to be a challenge, man. They're going to be a challenge. Whoever they wind up matching up against, you know, you have to get that sleep in the bubble. You need to find a way to get a good night rest playing against that team, because they're going to come at you. They're not going to bow down. And I think that James Harden is really looking to prove himself to have a great run throughout the playoffs.
Now, you're an actor, and actors only work about 2 months a year. So let's talk about another guy who works infrequently, Zion. I love him. I think he's my favorite young player in – I mean, honestly, I don't remember a young player out – I didn't even like LeBron this much when he came into the league. So as somebody yourself who works infrequently as an actor, you guys get paid a lot and work like 3-4 days a year. What do you make of Zion's restrictions?
I understand the restrictions now. It's been the craziest rookie season that you could ever imagine for any of the rookie players. Obviously, he came off with the injury, and then he started playing, and then we had the stop, and now he's back. I think that Zion, we need to see if Zion Williamson is going to commit to being the best version of himself. You know, we see it in spurts. You know, it's surprising. Defenses don't know what to make of it because they haven't really dealt with it. They haven't played against him consistently enough. But we don't know if this guy will ever be able to stay in shape. God willing, he stays healthy. But he's got to commit to being a professional basketball player. The hype and the excitement, we know it's all there. But can he play defense? Does he have enough energy in the tank to play defense? When you're blocking shots out of bounds in college, you know, we saw his highlights. We've been watching this young kid for years, and when he was in high school, bullying people in high school, bullying everybody in college. But this is the NBA. There's going to be other bullies. So I like him. I like his temperament. But we got to see if he's really ready to commit, and can he play a full season or close to a full season. But they got a lot of young talent. Brandon Ingram is definitely stepped it up. But is Zion Williamson, is his game going to translate to when there's 8 seconds on the clock? Who do we give the ball to? Can he power his way to the hoop the way he does? You're certainly not going to get alley-oops, 3-2-1 buzzer beater alley-oop. So we have to see what he's going to morph into. But he's still a young prodigy and an exciting prodigy. It's a matter of commitment and good fortune with the health.
Okay, 1 minute left. Does it drive you nuts as a New Yorker that Melo's playing great basketball now at 36 in the Pacific Northwest? Drive you nuts?
No, it doesn't drive me nuts. I'm happy for him. It's a great system. He's stepped up to the plate. He's taken the step back. And I didn't like the way it was looking that they were going to end his Hall of Fame career. I was happy for him since when he got signed, and he made a great shot the other day. CJ trusts him. Dame trusts him. And he's having fun. Carmelo looks like he's genuinely having so much fun playing.
He does. He does. That's a good point. He looks like he's a joyful Carmelo Anthony. And that, by the way, that matters. LeBron always said, I hate being a villain. LeBron hated being a villain. He wanted to have a joyful career. By the way, look at your hair today. It is salon perfect. You've done a really nice job. I got to tell you something. You're a professional.
I didn't come here to play games with you, Colin, okay? And I didn't come here to get belittled and then get shots thrown at me either. So I'm ready for whatever you need. Speaking of great hair, Joy, yours is fantastic.
I know. Look at it.
Ridiculous.
She changes
ridiculous.
It. She changes it. I'm getting a haircut today. She changes her hair every single day. Like, she'll be a Hollywood starlet from the 50s one day, and then you get a new haircut, and you look like the coolest college co-ed, and now you're... You're Joy Taylor.
Well, Colin, make sure you tip your barber extra today, because that's a lot of work to do for you, man. Just the hedge through there. Tip them extra.
I have a haircut today at my house.
That's very exciting.
$100 for coming to my house and a tip. That's not bad.
Good. No, unacceptable. Sorry.
Too low?
Unacceptable.
Too low?
You got to go better today. I want you to double that up for them today.
Oh, come on. Okay. Michael Rappaport, actor, director, producer, podcaster, do-it-yourself home projects all start at Lowe's. More time at home than ever before. Go to Lowe's.com, hashtag Lowe's Goals. I'm creating my own bar cart. You do the same. Hour 3, we'll go to Tampa next.